Have you seen any bees lately? I recommend to you that there's a swarm of bees nested in the Scriptures. And I'd like to call your attention to just a few of them that ought to be buzzing in our lives today. The first spiritual bee that I direct your attention to is recorded in the book of Luke in chapter 2 and verse 49. When Jesus asked, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And so our first spiritual bee is when Jesus said, "Be about." The song that we just sang, "I Want to Be a Worker," inspires me to want to be about. How about you? I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to be a worker. Help me, Lord. In the book of Matthew 21 and verse 28, the Lord told a story about a man that had two sons, and he said to one, "Go work today in my vineyard." The Lord's church is a workplace. And the Bible says that we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so you and I need to be about our Father's business. But as I thought about a swarm of bees in the Scriptures, there's a second bee I want you to think about, and that is the fact that the Bible admonishes each one of us to be strong. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." As Joshua rose to take Moses' place in leading the Lord's people, God's charge to him is recorded in the book of Joshua in chapter 1. And among other things, God said to this man in Joshua 1 and verse 6, be what? Strong. God's always needed strong people. And that's no different today. If the church is to be strong, then you need to be strong, and I must be strong as individual members thereof. We'd do well to hearken to the words of Paul to Timothy when in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong do you consider yourself to be today? Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Remember that? That's Philippians 4 and verse 13. And you can too. But in addition to that, as we think about some Bible bees, the Bible encourages us to be something else, and that is to be humble. You know, one problem that some people face is not having enough faith in themselves, not having enough self-esteem. And another problem that is faced by some is thinking too highly of themselves, and that's pride. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 12, talked about how that in verse 2, the renewing of your mind. And in verse 3, "I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Those who are arrogant and haughty need to have their mind renewed from an arrogant mind to an humble mind. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, the Apostle Peter said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves." And in the context of submission, he said, be clothed with what? Humility. In other words, be humble. Why? "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Back in the wisdom book of Proverbs, notice what wise Solomon recorded in the book of Proverbs in chapter 16 and in verse 19. "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." And so as you make your study of a swarm of bees, you have to think about being humble, not thinking too highly of yourself. But in addition to that, the Bible talks about the importance of being holy. You know, God's always expected holiness of His people. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, and in verses 15 and 16, the apostle said, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be," you might underscore that word, "be what? Ye holy. In all manner of conversation." That's not just what you say, but that's in every aspect of your life. You and I are to exhibit holiness, because it is written. And every time we see that expression, "it is written," in the New Testament, it always means what? Something said in the Old Testament. He's quoting this time from Leviticus 11:44, where it is recorded, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Bible often highlights the importance of holiness. You know, there are those who think that they're going to go to heaven without being holy. It just won't work. There's no substitute for holiness. For the Bible says, "Without it, no man shall see the Lord." Hebrews 12 and in verse 14. But also, as I began to encounter a swarm of bees in my Bible, there's another one that I met up with that I want you to think about. And that is the fact that the Bible talks about the importance of us being of one mind. Often you find where writers in the New Testament would exhort New Testament Christians to be of one mind. A good example is when Paul wrote the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 2, saying, "Fulfill ye my joy." How would they do that, Paul? "That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And then again, in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 3 and in verse 8, as Peter wrote his epistle to Christians here and there, he said, finally what? "Be ye all of one mind." And so you can mark it down that one of the Bible B's is to be of one mind. Unfortunately, sometimes there are different mindsets among brethren. And when that happens, there's not enough glue in Elmer's factory to keep them together. Just like Amos asked, "How can we walk together except we be agreed?" And so you've got to see the importance of speaking the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 10. And that brings about joy. There's nothing joyous about division or contentions. And so we need to be of the same mind. But also notice in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 8, another B. And that is when he says, "Be pitiful and be what? Courteous." Be pitiful and be courteous. What's it mean to be pitiful? That's to be full of pity. That is to have compassion, to have strong bowels. In fact, John uses that word bowels in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16, when he talks about the love that we ought to have for our brethren. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because we laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And so to be pitiful is to have strong bowels of compassion. The kind of compassion and pity that was aroused in the Samaritan, of which you read in Luke chapter 10, when he saw a man that had been left for dead, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Luke 10, verses 33 through 35. Courtesy may be an old-fashioned thing with some, It's hard to find very many people today that are very courteous. But as you make a list of your Bible bees, you need to include in that list, be courteous. And you and I need to be that kind of people. When folks think of us, they think of somebody that is courteous. Or as Ephesians chapter 4, instead of the word courteous and pitiful, you have the word kind in Ephesians 4 and in verse 32, when Paul said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind. Be courteous. Be pitiful. And then as I thought about the subject that's on the board behind me, a swarm of bees, I thought of another bee, and that is when the Bible calls upon you and me to be subject. That word subject is used a number of times and in a number of different ways. And if there's anything that you and I need to learn as members of the church, it's to be subject unto Christ, Ephesians 5, and in verse 24. But not only does the Bible talk about the church being subject to Christ, it talks about us as citizens being subject unto civil government, or what's called the higher powers. In Romans 13:1, when Paul said, let every soul, that includes you, by the way, and me, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then again in verse 5, he says, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You know, sometimes there are those who don't want to be subject to anybody or anything, and especially when it comes to civil government. But God placed me in a position of being subject to them. And I need to remember that. In the book of Titus in chapter 3 and in verse 1, one of the responsibilities of a gospel preacher is to put them in mind, that is, remind brethren to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And so I need to be subject. Writing in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5, Peter also talked about this idea of being subject. Notice what he had to say about that as he gives us another B. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And so not only are we to be subject to Christ and be subject to civil government, but we are to be subject one to another. And sometimes there are folks who overlook the importance of being subject. But then again, as I thought about some things that we need to be, there's another one that came to my mind, and that is how the Bible urges us to be obedient. Be obedient. I recall reading back in the book of Exodus in chapter 24, and in verse 7, a marvelous attitude on the part of Israel. When Moses had just taken the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people the commandments of our Lord, and remember what they said? All that the Lord has said will we do, and what was the rest of that? Be obedient. That's a good attitude, isn't it? Be obedient. And the New Testament upholds that concept of being obedient. Like in Matthew 7:21, when the Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the Hebrew writer revealed in Hebrews 5:8-9, though he, that is Jesus, were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Unto who? All them that obey him. And so if Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, what's that mean I need to be? I need to be obedient. And so, as you think about a swarm of bees, you and I need to be about. There's work to do. We need to be strong. We need to recognize the importance of being humble, being holy, being of one mind, that there be peace and harmony among us, that we be pitiful and courteous, be subject, and be obedient. And there are a number of other B's that are nested in this volume that you might like to explore sometime, as you'll find this word B 7,012 times from Genesis to Revelation. And time would not allow us to look at all of those, as you could readily see. But these eight, I wanted us to think about and focus on this week as you think about a swarm of bees. The next time you see a bee out there buzzing around, you might think of this little lesson. And you might think of some times when the Lord said that you and I need to be some things. It must be what God would have us to be. There may be those this afternoon who have not yet been obedient. Why don't you start with that one right now? To be obedient to the Lord's word by hearing it, and having heard it, to believe it, to repent of your sins and to confess your faith today. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll be happy to baptize you. There's water readily available. There's garments. All things have been made ready that you might be obedient today. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. And as you explore other Bible B's, you'll come across when the Lord said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And if you've not been faithful, if you've drifted away from the Lord and you need to come back and straighten that up, repenting of your sin and confessing that to God, we'll be happy to pray for you this afternoon. Why don't you come to the front right now as we stand and sing together.